Hello and welcome to Fueling Around with me, Jason Plato, and the googly on my middle stump. It's the one and only Dave Vitti.
Fueling Around is powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance.
Now, don't forget to press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get these pod things from. Dave, how are we?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Mate, great. I've just come back. You know, I do it every year, the Young Driver Award at Silverstone, the BRDC Silverstone Young Driver of the Year Award. It's just great. And it just gets more and more competitive every year. Yeah. So, yeah, amazing.
Very good. Well, listen, it's back to work time because we've got a podcast to do. And as always, we don't just do it just you and me because that would be boring and just us two whittling on for 45 minutes because we need to have a special star guest. And one of those we have very much so today, do we not?
Absolutely. Our guest today is a sporting superhero. And I genuinely mean that. He's a champion ballroom dancer, a radio and TV presenter, a semi-professional golfer, a former footballer. Jesus, what hasn't he done? And he's also known for doing a bit of that cricket stuff. It is, of course, England and Yorkshire legend, the one and only Mr. Darren Goff. Now then, Dazzler, how are we?
All right, lads, how you all doing? All good, mate. Just been on another jolly playing golf for a few days down in sunny Portugal.
This was going to be my first point, actually, because Jason alluded to your semi-professional golf career in his intro, and only today, in fact, you've only been home for an hour or so, haven't you? Sort of jet fresh from Portugal with that golden delicious tan that you brought back and a bit of sunshine. How was it?
Well, I didn't come back private jet like the modern day sportsman. I came back in old, good old easy jet.
Good lad.
It was lovely. Sat in 6C. Make sure I get an aisle seat. I pay the extra 14 quid for that.
What, easy boarding?
Yeah, no, I never go for that one because I'll tell you why. I think that is a bit of a piss take, I really do. Because coming back, most of the other airlines, when you're in a different country, Spain or Portugal, from my experience of travelling, they never do the speedy boarding because you get on a bus. All them people think they're going on first, speedy boarding, and then you just get on the bus last, then you're first off, boom, straight on.
No, do you know what? You're absolutely true, because I had this years ago with my missus, who was pregnant with our daughter at the time, right? So we did the speedy boarding thing because she was out here and we thought we'd make life easier. So, of course, we're the first to get through. We're the first on the bus. All these other lads jump on the road to Falaraki or wherever they were going, right? So the bus doors opened. They went legging it up the stairs, which meant that we were the last people on the plane. You know, you're absolutely right. If there's a bus involved, there's no point.
So, these few days, where were you, Portugal?
It was a bit of a charity trip, this one, I'll be honest.
Right.
We were doing stuff for the Cricketers Trust. It's about cricketers who've fallen odd times or who have not got insurance and they get ill. And if you, there's a cricketer that used to play for England called Sid Lawrence.
Yeah.
And he's just been diagnosed with the same thing as Rob Burrows, right? And he's deteriorated quite quickly. And a good friend of mine, Sean Udall, played for Hampshire in England. He's also got Parkinson's. I did a charity event for him a few weeks ago. And so there's a few, the ambassadors, BC have so many ambassadors, and the ones that were there this week supporting it were Mark Butcher, Owen Morgan, Graham Gooch and me. And then you had a few of the girl England cricketers, a few of the county cricketers from the counties. They have reps. Each county has a rep. And then loads people who pay lots of money and are very generous to come on that trip to Portugal for 3 days. And it was amazing. I think we raised last night something like 50, 60 grand the last night. And that's awesome. That goes a long way to help people, you know, because cricket for the real elite these days are earning football wages, right? It's mega. And I'm so pleased for them. I really am. And I was lucky. I didn't play in an era, but I earned more money than people earned in the 80s and the 70s. And those are the people that might, as they get older, need a knee replacement and they can't afford their insurance. And so the PCA, like the PFA and other associations like that, are really, really good. And it was a good trip. It was lots of fun, mate. Singing last night, as you could tell from the voice of it, it was funny, mate. There was some laughs last night. Really funny. I ended up doing a bit of salsa as well. They stuffed me out of sight, and that was great. It was just good fun.
So you still got the moves then in the memory bank, in the muscle memory?
Well, it came back last night. I think it might have been the red wine. I hate doing it. Once you do a show like that, honestly, especially when you win it, everybody suddenly thinks you can dance, right? I can't dance. I can't dance for shit. And you learn a routine in a week and do it on Saturday, right? And so once that's gone, you forget it all because you're learning a different routine. So when they got me yesterday in that small environment, I kind of was stuffed out of sight, really. So I ended up with a lady from the audience who was probably double my age. Well, not quite double because I'm 54. But I was up there. They got me on the floor and I just did a random salsa. The room erupted. And it just bring it all back because fun. It's so much fun. And I can't believe I've not done that since 2008, the last time I did it.
Oh, my God. I didn't think it was that far, boy.
Well, I did it 2005.
Yeah, yeah.
2005, I was the first male winner.
That's the terrifying thing, though, isn't it? Because I think we all agree, we're all men of a certain age, right? And so we think back to 2005, 2006 as being not that long ago, but it's pushing 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20. Well, yeah, it's 20 years ago.
20 years
about.
Next year.
I did, 20 years I did it, and it was amazing. And then I went back in 2008 and did the Champion of Champions, where some of the champions came back. Alicia Dixon was on it.
Yeah.
And I beat her as well. She was a judge. I beat the judge.
There you go, you see. So just in case there was any doubt over your sort of credibility the first time round, you came back and did it again.
I think I won the personality award, not the dancing award, mate. It's changed a bit now.
Old Snake Hips there, look, playing himself
absolutely.
Down.
Absolutely. Joking aside, though, Darren, golf has been your mainstay and your sanctuary for the past 6 months. You sadly lost your father back in April of this year, I read. And do you feel like you just needed some time out of everything, away from work and away from the routine of life, just to figure a few things out?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's been a tough couple of years, actually, if I'm honest. And I'm not someone who suffers from mental illness or wherever you want to call it. I call it imbalance, mainly. It's a brain imbalance. That's how I like to word it. My wife works in wellbeing, so I don't like to call it a mental illness. It's kind of a brain imbalance. And I think what happened with me is, I had a couple of real close friends, and I mean close, one of them my best man, who sadly killed themselves, basically, committed suicide. And on both occasions, I had no idea. I'll be honest with you. I had no idea. Just happened. And I'm like, what is going on here? Then my dad got prostate cancer. During lockdown, he came out of that, got cured. And my dad's always been a grafter. He works hard, never played sport, really, never had a hobby. His hobby is his job. So he goes back to work, happy, he's got over prostate cancer. Then he has a knee replacement. So then he has another 6 months of not doing anything, which is finishing him off. And then he goes back to work, driving home one day, gets a bit dizzy, thinks he's having a bit of a turn with his heart. I worked a lot on charities, doing a lot for brain tumour. I mean, no one in my family ever suffered from it. It was a young boy who wrote me a letter once and ended up raising over £1 million for him and his family for brain tumour research. And then he went to hospital. They said, oh, good news, Mr. Gough, you haven't had an heart attack or stroke, but we think you've got a brain tumour. And that was it. 12 months later, gone. So it was all... This has all happened so quickly. And then your kids grow up. My youngest son moved to Dubai. He lives in Dubai now and works out there. And it's just, I had a difficult period with work, with everything that was happening, taking over a club that was in crisis when I took over. Totally put everything into that and rebuilt that cricket club. And then my dad died in April. I just said, I can't do this. I need some time out. And that's why I finished my job in March. And I decided I wasn't going to do anything for 9 months. It's nearly up. I've done little bits. I've done little bits. I've done like stuff for certain brands, especially Yorkshire brands like Yorkshire Tea, or I've done some of a Lancashire brand, Warburton's. You do little bits and pieces everywhere. I've got some brand. I'm a van brand ambassador for a car company at the time. It finishes next month, so I'll be looking for another car. But I'm with Virtue.
Good lad.
I'm with Virtue, right? You'll know Virtue. It's like I'm the Virtue Jaguar Land Rover. So I've been with them now for 4 years. So I've done stuff, but yeah. I've not gone into that day-to-day work, if you know what I mean. But I'm ready now. I'm ready to go back. Golf's been an absolute game changer for me, just playing so yeah. much golf for the first time in my life, and it's coming good.
Before we get on to talking cars, Darren, which I know that we're all itching to do, the one thing I don't know is how you two know each other, and I can only assume that it must be from some kind of drink social somewhere. Am I right, or where did your paths first cross? I mean, Jason, you protest too much. It's almost like I haven't met either of you before.
Well, I think we met through one of our sponsors at the time, one of my sponsors, cars.
VW. I got you on fifth gear, didn't we?
Yeah, fifth gear. And we were doing stuff thing with VW. And I managed to wrap the brand new Tourer Grounder trade in that because I'm competitive. And I don't. And I wasn't worried. It wasn't my car, not my insurance. Yeah. But, going through the woods fast as I can. And it was a tricky track, right?
It was.
I wasn't messing about. And I just caught the front end in there on the tree or something. But
it was only a nip. It was a wee nip, but it caused a bit of damage.
Oh, and it cost 15 grand worth of damage, easy. Yeah, you're going to laugh about it, mate, because it's not coming off my insurance. But so that's how it happened. And I do love cars without being able to do anything. I couldn't change a tyre. If you ask me, if I got a flat here now, puncture, that's it, I'm done. I get a taxi home and I ring them up and say, right, come and fix it. Or I can't even change a tyre. I probably could, but I just can't be asked.
Well, in fact, most cars nowadays haven't even got spares, have they? You've got a can of squirty in the back. Perfect.
Absolutely. You can't. I mean, to be honest with you, isn't the safety advice also just to kind of leave it alone? Because they don't want you doing it on the hard shoulder and stuff like that either. Although I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I remember one of those life lessons. My dad, you know, sort of being a sort of northern father and whatever. So, right, out you get. Going to teach you how to change your tyre. And, you know, it's pissing with rain and stuff like that. And you think, oh, God, Dad, this is boring. But it was one of those life lessons. Here's the jacking point. Get it up. Blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever. You know, loosen the nuts off before you do it. And that's what you had to learn.
Well, you've got a safety nut on there now. It's hard enough finding a safety nut in your car. But
yeah, exactly. Where's that?
But yeah, where is it? I mean, I worked in the I worked on the motorways for 8 months when I was younger. And the reason I worked on the motorways is because I wanted to buy a new Volkswagen Golf Cabriolet. So this would have been
right.
This would have been this would have been 1990. It was fantastic. Right. I don't know which one it would be, the Golf Cabriolet. Would it be Mark II, that one?
It was a Mark II J Reg, it was. Actually, no, H Reg was 90.
Honestly, lovely shape, beautiful. Yeah. It was gold. Not. It was like that browny gold colour. And it. I got the fancy writing down the sides, like you would, like Boy Racer. I put Cabriolet, Volkswagen Cabriolet underneath, fancy writing. And that was... And just being able to afford that, mate, back then, cricket, I was a young pro then, earning probably, that then, I was 20, I was probably only earning 6.5 grand. We all used to work 6 months before cricket started to take off. And so I got a job in the winter, earning more from going on the motorways a day.
Yeah.
And then I bought the car from working on the motorways. Otherwise, I would never have been able to have that car. So, and it was the best thing, best investment I ever did. I love that car. I wish I would have kept it. That's the one car I wish I would have kept out. Some of the nice cars I've had, that's the one I wish I would have kept.
Wow. So would you say that's your kind of your earliest car memory? Would you say that?
Yeah. I mean, my earliest car memory was basically I was driving young. My mate used to come to my house, and my mum's never been a confident driver. She's only small, really small. She had a moped. She was a midwife. But my dad bought her a Metro, red one. And so she had to be small because she's small and she's like up against window like that, like, you know. And she never used it. She just wasn't a common. She's still not now. My mum will only go in the car to take the dog to have a dog air clipped or to the supermarket and buy a bottle of wine. That's the only time she goes in the car. She wouldn't go anywhere. Never drove on the motorway in her life.
Really? Wow.
So basically, that car was mine. My dad was off at work. Mm. So my mate used to come sit outside of me when L plates on it, and we were off every night. We went everywhere. So I passed my test literally just about straight on my birthday. Straight
first
in.
Time.
Yeah, two lessons straight in bump pass.
Good life.
So I've always liked him, and I've always been mobile with a car. That was my first one, and I loved it. Lads, and you thought you were great. I remember it once, though, going in for a service. And I'd gone from that Metro, and they give me a Montego. Remember the Montegos?
Powerful. Yeah.
Mate, powerful. I was doing wheel spin starts. It was awesome. I can say it now because it's that long ago. I was, what, 19, 18? And wheel spin starts, and the power on it was like, whoa, this is different. And then you get the Metro back, you know?
I tell you what, Dave, I've never heard a Montego referred to as powerful.
Compared to a Metro?
Yeah. How good's that?
Because that was the era, wasn't it? You had the Montego, you had the Maestro, you had all those sort of cars, weren't they? They were sort of, late 80s, early 90s.
Well, you had an XR2, did you, Dave?
No, I always wanted an XR2. That was the car that... My Auntie Jean had an XR2. She had an X-Reg XR2, one of the early ones, and it was bright red with the Pepper Pot wheels. And I think it was like a 1981 or something. And I saw this arrive on her drive, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Because I was always into my cars. Since I was about 3 or 4, I was mad on cars. And I saw this, and my dad said, you'd love one of those, wouldn't you? And I was like, yeah, that's the absolute dream. But it never happened, sadly.
Exactly. That era, yeah. There was the Sierra. Mm. That's what my dad had. Unbelievable. He loved that car. He absolutely loved it. Yeah, so XR2, you had the Peugeot came out, 206 GTI. If you had one of them, you were earning a few.
205 GTI was, yeah.
205, yeah.
Yeah.
And my memories of the XR2 is I was at Rotherham when that happened, and a footballer at the time, he played for Torquay, Rotherham, Barnsley, then he went abroad and played, but he was like a decent footballer, but never made it to the real. And he had an XR2. So now and again, he used to drop me off because he lived near me in Barnsley, and we were both at Rotherham. And he was a pro; I was just like cleaning boots. And he used to drop me off now and again, and he drove an XR2.
Right, quick bit of mid-show housekeeping, folks. If you haven't already, please press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Jason.
So, in terms of, you know, loves that you've, you know, car loves you've lost, we obviously know about the Cabriolet. Any others in there that you're thinking, oh, I wish I still had that?
Ooh. No, I think that's the only one that I wish I would have kept as just my first car I bought myself with my own money.
Yeah.
And it's such a classic car. It was such a good car. It was that colour, everything about it, Cabriolet, light coloured top. People knew, top down in the winter, music on. Brilliant. It just takes me back to being that age, 18, 19. And it's just, and then when I met my wife, I think I picked her up first date in that car as well.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like so many stinking of Fahrenheit, you know, that aftershave back
yes, I remember it, that lovely ball.
So that's the one. But since I played cricket, you know, since I became an England player, I've never not had a Range Rover.
Is that right?
Never not. So once I got my first one, so since I've been 24, there's not been any time in my life when I've not had a Range Rover.
And is that just because they do everything well? Is it because it's just a one-stop shop whereby it's comfortable, you can get the dogs in the back, you can get the kids in the back, do you know what I mean? It does everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything. And I think for me, I am one of them who just likes big cars. I look at a Ferrari, and as much as I love it, and I do love it, and I wouldn't mind someone give me one, I'd have it. But I can't think, to me, to go and justify to myself to buy a Ferrari. I couldn't do it. There's times I've been tempted. Same with the Porsche. The only one I think I'd go and get is an Aston. That's the one I really do like. Because I don't think it's that... An Aston, as quality as it is, I don't think it has a show-off factor about it.
No, I think you're right. It's just a beautiful piece of automotive art. Yeah.
So that's the one I would have. But I've always liked, not like the big American ones as well, the FBI drive around.
Yeah.
What a Cadillac. They're
called Escalade.
Huge ones. Yeah.
That's the one car I've always wanted, an Escalade. I mean, I could see me, but in one of them. And I was so tempted at times in my career, shall I get rid of a Renjo and get one of these Escalade? I saw Rio Ferdinand in one once.
Rooney had one when he was about 18, I think, one of those left hooker Cadillac Escalades. Yeah, yeah.
I saw him in one in Manchester. We were playing a test match and he pulled up outside his restaurant, one of the restaurants, Rocco, is it, or something like that.
Yeah.
He was there and it was a black Escalade. I thought, And then when you see him on TV now, you think, I want one of them. Oh, FBI follow you, and all your CIA or something.
They do look great and imposing and just. Yeah.
So bigger, the bigger the car for me, mate. The bigger the car,
the better.
The better. Yeah. So in my drive now, I've got two cars. I've got a Range Rover, which is my wife's sport autobiography. Yeah, it's 4 years old now, but we love it. It's 50,000 miles on the clock. It's probably due a change at some point, but we've got three dogs. And we throw them in the back of that one. And then I've got, next to it, is a Defender, Land Rover Defender, because I'm with JLR. So I drive, it's my fourth one off them. I've had, this one's hybrid, which I don't use, because it only does 20 miles, doesn't it, hybrid? What's the point? I'm not charging up to 20 miles, so I just put petrol in it. But it's a green one, lovely, and it's new. It goes back next month, and then I'm going to find somewhere else. As I was saying to you, so if you know anybody in the car business, I'll tell you what I do like now. The Ford Ranger.
The
pickup.
The pickup specced up. Yeah. Oh, mate, one of them specced up. I think they look spectacular.
Yeah.
And I do like that. Every time I pass one, I have a little look and go, it's not the Range Rover. It's not an Escalade, but I'll tell you what, I can see myself in one of them.
I quite fancy one of those as well. And maybe, as I say, maybe it's a time of life thing, because I had one behind me on the motorway a little while ago and it was all specced up and it was all in black. It was like a matte black one. And I looked behind in the mirror and I thought, oh, that looks really nice. And I purposely moved over so I could go past, so I could have a proper look at it.
I do that. And I think you're right, that matte black. I go to the Car Fest, right? I go there. My wife works there in the wellbeing part. Does like the breath work stuff and cold water therapy and stuff like that. So, but you go around and look at some of the classic cars and all that, and they have a load of garages there who show off their cars, trying to sell them, obviously. And there was one there that did those Jeeps, and they do them all up urban, right? They urban them all up, and you can't beat that when they proper do that with a Ranger or one of those other kind of truck. Stuff. I think they just look the bee's knees. And my oldest son, who's 30 in November, that's what his dream car. He loves it. Loves it. Now, the younger one, obsessed by cars. So, and this is a true, I can show you on a text. He sent me a text an hour ago. He lives in Dubai. He said, Dad, you ain't got any contacts in Dubai, have you? He said, I'm after a Lamborghini for the day. I said, yeah, I'll just ring somebody up, they'll send you one over.
He loves
Ferrari, Lamborghini, all that sort of stuff, you know. He's more obsessed by cars than anybody else in our family. He's the one that, if he went and got a job that paid him ridiculous money, first thing he'd go out, he'd have a Lamborghini or a Ferrari on his...
Go and get a motor.
Before a house, he'd have a car.
Yeah. Well, he'll see plenty over there, won't he? He'll get his eye full of, because it's full of them, isn't it?
And that's his problem. He's around people that are minted, and he's seen all these cars. I think sometimes he got picked up in a Lamborghini taxi last week, sent me a picture.
And he, don't the police have them over there as well?
I was just about to say that. Yeah, they do, which is that. I mean, can you imagine? The blue light's on, you go, Jesus Christ, it's the Diablo. What's going on?
Yeah. So that would, that would be. We won't get them in this country. They're all, they're all undercover over here now, aren't they? Trying to get them doing 74 in a 70.
Yeah.
So here's the thing: electric cars. What do you reckon of those? Do you like them? Not bothered? Fussed? Do? Where do you stand?
Oh, interesting one that, because there is a brand.
Is this another deal that you're working on that you can't tell us about?
I reckon it might be.
I'll tell you what it is. It's you know, most car companies do VIP group, right? Or they do VIP service. So BMW are pretty good in sport and with acting and stuff. So they rang me up and I've been chatting to them and they've got a deal for me. And it's an i7, the new one that's coming out, right? Mm-hmm. So they said it's fantastic. It does 350 miles electric. But I said, look, I live in the countryside. My problem is I don't want to go looking for bleeding things to charge it. So he says, well, why don't you look at getting one at your house? Right? So I am. I have today on my way back in the coming back on the when I was in the airport at Faro, I was looking at chargers you can have, looking at my provider and seeing, and you can actually buy them off them and use your own electricity. Yeah, yeah. So it's tempting because I do like, again, an i7, although it's sporty, it's quite big.
Yeah.
Right? It's not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's quite big. So thinking about it, I did say to him, because my classic is, I think a classic car now for me, and it's just, it's been like this for years, is an X5.
Yeah.
X5.
Great bit of kit.
Oh, but they don't, because it's so, it sells so many cars every year, on the VIP service, they don't want people in them because they sell enough anyway.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So they want to showcase the X7 or the i7 or the new 4 Series, the Coupe.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the X7, that's a bit of kit mind, isn't it, that X7? I mean, it's a monster.
That's the one that's basically a direct competitor to the big Merc, isn't it? You know, the big, exactly. Big Merc. That's the basically boy, what they brought it out for, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that one tempts me. But he said, why don't you try the electric? And I'm like, I'm umming and ahhing, and I'm like, I just like going off, stop at the garage, by yourself, a can of Coke, some Haribos.
And a Twix.
Yes.
Yeah.
And and a bag of crisps, and getting back in my car in 2 minutes, or a coffee. Yeah. Mm. I don't want to stop for 45 minutes till my car charges up. Mm.
Imagine how many crisps you'd have eaten in that time, Darren.
I know. I'm trying to lose timber at the minute. I'm trying to lose timber, not put it on. Yeah.
Stop at the garage, just charge it up. I'll have a little injection of Olympics or whatever it's called. That swimming thing, right? 4 bags of them crisps, please.
I'd never thought about it before, but actually that's a very good argument against electric vehicles, isn't it? You know, from a health and well-being point of view, and this obviously ties in with the business that your wife's in, is the fact that the charging time and the stopover time is far too big. You'd be going through Twix and Topics and crisps and wine gums and everything.
KFC, it's going to give us an obesity problem in this country. We're all going to sit in electric cars. We have to stop for 45 minutes.
Right, listen, penultimate question for you is this one. Of all the cars you've ever owned, you need to pick one and one only and stick with it for the rest of your life. Which one is it and why?
Rest of my life, Range Rover. I had the real big spec. I mean, the top dog one.
Big autobiography, full spec, SVE.
Yeah, that's... HSE something I had, yeah. That's what I would have. The top one, for comfort, with all the bits on it, I had one of them for a few years when I was with the actual main company rather than a garage part. I was living with Land Rover itself. And that was just dream. Everything about it, the colour. I like black cars. I like beige leather. Or I like that sort of leather. Yeah, I don't like black. I like that light coloured leather, black car or dark car. It just looks and the wheels shiny and proper alloys. I'd drive one forever, mate. And like I said, I've never been without one. And I'm getting to the point now where I am 54. And will that carry on, or will I eventually? This time next year, there might not be one in here because I've got two of that product at the minute.
Yeah.
But next year, there might not be one's due a change. I might go somewhere else. And my car goes wherever it takes me, right? Whether it be an i7 or a Mercedes or a Porsche or Aston.
There we go.
Milton Keynes, mate. I'm only 9 miles away. I get there in 5 minutes, isn't it?
I drove past a big Range Rover just literally about an hour and a half ago, and it's the brand new one with a thin little rear light, but everything was all blacked out. All the lights were black. Man, it looked a bit mean. Looked gorgeous.
Well, the SVR, the most powerful one I've ever driven. Yeah. I mean, mine went in for a service, and they gave me one, and it's the most powerful thing I've, I think I've
That's
ever
a rocket ship, isn't it?
It's been noisy. You turn it on, you press the button, and that noise. And that's why I love the Aston. You turn that on, you know you got one in the drive, right? My mate's got one.
And everyone else knows as well, eh?
Yeah. My mate's got one.
I like that.
My mate's got one, and he comes to our house, and he loves it. He knows that. He knows I do like them. And every time you hear it, I know it's him because he's outside. What's he doing that for? He's 50. He's older than me. And I used to do that when I was 18 in my mini metro.
Hey, so here's a question. We ask this to everyone. It's kind of like our question, isn't it, at Fueling Around, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. It's our signature question, isn't it?
That's eloquently put. So we reckon that music and cars go really well together. So just think of a fantasy drive. You know, your fantasy drive could be anything. So where are you? Where are you going? What are you listening to? And most importantly, what are you in? What are you driving?
Well, if I'm on a nice smooth road, it'd be an Aston. Absolutely.
Driving to Milton Keynes.
No, in Milton Keynes, yeah, I think I'll get the taxi. If I'm going into Milton Keynes, I'm going out on the lash, mate. I think somewhere coastal, somewhere Cape Town, going round, driving round there, Cape Town, in an Aston.
Mate, that's a great call.
There's two songs I like. One, which was my cricket song, which was Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. Always followed me around that. And the other one is Lighthouse Family, Ocean Drive.
Right,
that's a cracking tune.
That's the tune, mate. That's the tune. Okay. Going through Cape Town, or round the mountains, round the coastal.
Up over the pass down to Gans Bay and all that bit's amazing.
Boulders Bay, past the penguins. Oh, mate. End up at Camps Bay, park up, show it off, become a 22-year-old rich man again for everyone saying, look, he's driving an Aston and it's not mine. Yeah. I've just borrowed it for the day, but not look apart.
You'd get out the car there right by the sea, Darren, and you'd see myself and Jason there with a couple of cold beers, with a table booked for a nice steak dinner by the ocean, just to kind of like top off the whole day. It's perfect, isn't it?
Absolutely perfect. And when you're in South Africa, you've obviously got the wine as well, mate. And it's cheap.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is it, unfortunately, for this week's Fueling Around, powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or in your home insurance. Dave, as always, big thanks to you. But a huge thanks this week to our special guest, the one and only Mr. Darren Goff. Thanks, pal.
Cheers, mate. Loved it.
Darren, it's been an absolute pleasure. Genuinely wishing you good health and all the very best for 2025 with your next adventures. Don't forget to press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Ta-da.